Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
And John Ramos is here as well. He's got a treat for you coming up in 90 minutes or so, keeping our eye on that college football tilt that David Gascon mentioned, that it could play a big part to the college football playoff with Notre Dame and North Carolina going on. Also looking ahead to a week 12 in the National Football League that will have games on Sunday, Monday, and now on Tuesday, as yes, the Steelers-Ravens game is tentatively scheduled for Pittsburgh on that day. But Jonas, we focus on what's happening with an 0-10 team. No, not the Jets. But the team that the Jets are playing, in the Miami Dolphins, and Tua Tagovailoa going to be listed as questionable for that game against New York because of his thumb injury.
Well, I mean, clearly, this isn't that big of a deal. I mean, they benched him last week, so I mean, what's the problem? I mean, you wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? He gave you a better chance to win, so I don't understand. This shouldn't be that big of a deal for the Dolphins.
This is something that I think in this day and age, it's one or the other. Like, you cannot sit on the fence for anything. You have to either be this, and if you're not this, then you're that.
Well, you can sit on the fence. It's just other shows,
the takes of, I don't know what's going to happen. Coming up next, I don't know what's going to happen with the Miami Dolphins, but I actually have no problem with them adjusting on the fly. Now, how they've gone about it. And when you were talking with John Middlecoff about the situation when we had John on, the former NFL scout, last hour, it is a changing landscape in the National Football League. And if there is one thing that I have learned as a fan of many teams in many different sports, Jonas, is you have to win it when you're there. And even though you've got Tua and you've got to figure out a way to set your quarterback position for the future, they're in it right now, and you can't waste those opportunities. So for Miami, because of the crazy year, because of the altered schedule, I actually don't mind this bit of musical chairs that they played last week in Denver in the loss with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and for what's ahead, because I do think it's important for that team to, if they can make the playoffs, it gives them an opportunity to set their future, not, well, let's decide on Tua, and then if he's not our guy, then we'll end up using a guy, or we'll end up drafting someone else. Like, to me, I am all for them moving or having a moving target just for the simple fact of they are in it right now.
I'm not. I'm completely against the decision. I thought last week it was puzzling at the time. It doesn't really make much sense.
Why doesn't it make sense?
Okay, why would you pull him from that game when you already made the decision to go to him earlier in the season because you felt like he gave you the better chance to win, but in this game he didn't? Like, this is a young guy and a young quarterback. He's got to be able to go through that stuff and learn. The best way that you learn is by actually going through it. You know, coming up in radio, people could tell you whatever they wanted about, well, this is how you do this and this is how you do that, but it wasn't until you actually got your hands on it before it really made sense, and you had to go through that stuff. Tua now has no experience to draw from that game. All he knows is, if it gets bad enough, I'm going to get pulled. I think that's a terrible approach that Brian Flores took. I don't understand it.
But this team is they are 6-4 right now. And I don't think that that's where they thought that they would be at the start of the season. And when you also have, when Tua got the starting job, it was a shock to everyone, including Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? Because
yes. He
did not expect that to happen.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins also didn't expect their bye to come when it actually happened in the NFL schedule. It was only changed because of the multiple pieces that had to move because of the Titans-Steelers game. And then this game was moved. And all of a sudden, then this team had a bye. Like, those were the things that were moving parts. And then in the midst of all of that, they reel off three straight wins. And now you find yourself in the playoff contention in a season that we didn't know with the extra playoff how many teams would be there. I understand that, too as a player, but you can't be so fragile as a player that you're worried about where his mindset is as your team is trying to win the playoffs. How do you tell the other 52 guys that, all right, we ended up making this move back to Fitz, or we didn't make the move to Fitz because we didn't want to hurt Tua's feelings? Like, that's I don't know how that would go over in an NFL locker room. And if that's it with Tua, then you don't have it with Tua.
The whole point for me is, if you want this guy, and first of all, the idea that the Miami Dolphins are a legitimate contender for a Super Bowl, I think is crazy. They're not even, I get that they've won a few games in a row, they're not even in the same league as a team like Pittsburgh or Kansas City. I don't even think it's close. But the decision to go to Tua when you did signaled to me, hey, we feel like this adds a different dynamic to our team, and we're going to make the move now. And then he gets in a little bit of trouble, and you pull him. I don't know who learns from that. If Brian Flores, in his third or fourth game as an NFL head coach, was struggling, and all of a sudden ownership said, all right, offensive coordinator, you take over for this game. Brian, you'll get it next week. I mean, we're looking at him going, hold on a second. This is the guy you chose. You turned to him. Some of this stuff is going to happen, and I don't care how good the quarterback is. Every quarterback has found themselves in this spot, and I just think you learn more from going through it than you do standing on the sidelines being, in a way, punished for it. Now, one of the theories that was thrown out there, and this is, I'm just saying, this is a theory. There's been a couple. Well, maybe he was more injured than what they thought. The other one was, Tua made a comment earlier in the week of, yeah, you know, I didn't expect it to be this easy. You know, I didn't expect it to be this easy, and not saying that it's completely easy, but you know, I thought it would be a little harder. Maybe Brian Flores was sending that message, and if he's sending that message, I get it. Like, I'm on board with that. But if this is just a game by game situation, and you didn't like him in that spot, and you pull him this early into his career, I'm not a fan at all.
See, this is people will compare it to Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. And I think that they're completely different situations for a lot of reasons. Number one, when you just look at the offensive firepower with the Chargers, with the Bengals, and I know people, the Bengals have guys on offense. They may not have at the skill positions. They may not have anything else on that team.
Yeah.
But they do have guys at those positions.
Agreed.
Those are also two-win, three-win football teams. Where now, and you know, Joe Burrow unfortunately can't because he's done for the season, but you can throw the football all around the lot as much as you want because who cares? You're trying to get some of that rust off. Where I think that the Dolphins do have something to play for. And I just don't think where the Dolphins are as an organization, if there are enough questions about Tua in the first place, that they need to handle him with kid gloves and sacrifice a possible chance. And yeah, you're right. They're not going to compete with the Chiefs. They're not going to compete with the Steelers. But to try to make it to the playoffs, to try to have that opportunity to do so, I think is what has drawn them in. And to me, that's worth it than trying to figure out and put all these caveats in to make sure that Tua has the ideal situation. Because honestly, the ideal situation is not in 2020. A kid coming off of hip surgery with no preseason, no real training camp, and now is handed over the starting job. That is not ideal. So I just look at the Dolphins as a team of, things changed in the last couple of weeks. They became a team of, all right, let's look at the 2021. We've got all these draft picks. We're going to set it up to, holy smokes, the rest of the conference isn't that good. We're actually in the thick of things here. We got another game against the Jets coming up. Let's try to make a pull for it or a push for it. And that's where I can't fault them for trying to do it, especially for a team that's had, you know, so little success over the past few years.
I just don't know any walk of life or business where that would work, where that would be a benefit. I think Tua is a worse quarterback now because of the benching than he would have been had he continued on with that game and they got slaughtered. Because at least he's got something that he can draw from. Okay, the game wasn't good, but I learned something from it. He didn't learn anything. All he learned was, hey, man, there's a quick hook here. If you make a couple of bad plays or if you make a bad read here, Ryan Fitzpatrick standing on the sideline. I just don't know how that helps him. I really don't. And I don't know in what walk of life that would help him. And if it's about, well, we were just trying to win a game there. Okay, I understand. So it's not like Tua is trying to lose the game, But at least if you can draw some sort of a win from that game, it's your quarterback got better because he went through the experience. And now he didn't get any of that. So to me, it's almost a double loss for Miami in that regard.
I just think if Tua is that fragile, that he's not your guy. Yeah, I mean,
but I don't think it's about being fragile. I just think it's about understanding there's going to be growing pains in anything. And so if you struggle and all of a sudden you get pulled from a game, now you're looking around going, well, is this how it's done? I don't know how that makes him fragile. I just think that would be a concern for me. I would look at it and go, what are we doing here?
Who do you think is the better quarterback between Fitzpatrick and Tua right now?
Right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And that's what I think that a lot of people felt even when they made the switch at the time of week 7. Again, their bye wasn't supposed to be until like week 10 or 11 until all of the schedule changes, which then at the time was – then you knew that the edict from the front office was during the bye week, Tua's going to take over the starting job. Like that's what it was from week one, and that's why Fitzpatrick was so surprised when he found out about it. But also from week one, you just looked at your team and you thought, all right, we're probably not going to be in it. Patriots and Bills battling for the division. You've got these other teams. We'll just plan ahead. And I just can't fault them for going with the guy when they're in the thick of the playoffs right now. To me, that is actually more important to me than weighing to find out if Tua is the guy or Tua isn't the guy. And I would also add this, you know, John Middlecoff brought up the name of Baker Mayfield. This isn't like 7 or 8 years ago where there are no quarterbacks that are available. It's I don't think it is. I think that there are a lot of teams that have questions about whether their guy is a quarterback. Look at how much Nick Foles has moved in the last 3 years, and he won a Super Bowl.
Is he still in the league?
I haven't heard from him in a while. Right? I mean, just the point being of you having to have a quarterback in place, I don't think that's the NFL anymore. We don't know if Sam Darnold's going to be back with the Jets. We don't know if Baker Mayfield's going to have his option picked up by Cleveland. Like there's all of these questions going around, and the point is I think that there's quarterbacks out there. So even if Tua isn't the guy, it's not like you need to find out now so you can draft someone else. You can navigate and make your decision however you want it, but it's not like if you don't have Tua work out or draft a quarterback next year that you're done for the next 15 years. So that's why I say like it's okay right now to go for it because, you know what, if Tua is or isn't the guy, it's not like you're going to be set back 10 years. Like maybe you know, heck, what was it, like 5 or 6 years ago we were wondering if Ryan Fitzpatrick was the gem of free agency, right? I don't think that's the NFL nowadays, and that's why I think the Dolphins can afford to kind of play a bit of a musical chairs and not necessarily commit to Tua. Just win right now. They're in the hunt.
We'll let the record show for our friends listening in Tuscaloosa and in the great land of Hawaii. Dan Beyer hates Tua. He hates him. He wants him out of the league, and he wants him cut immediately. Just a stunning development here.
That is not the case. I just think that Ryan fits what the Dolphins are doing right now.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Here, I would say, you know, Fitzpatrick is more of a 1A and Tagovailoa is more of a, I don't know, 2A, 2A, something like that. That was actually a
there
reach.
It is.
That one stunk.
Pun this.
That one, that was the Jets of jokes.
Double puns, barrel pun action here on Fox Sports Radio.
Representative Beyer.
Dan Beyer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. You can check out the show as always on the iHeartRadio app. Get Dan on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox, at Dan Beyer on Fox. Coming up next, we are going to find out who has a major, major issue moving forward in the NFL this weekend from our insider and expert, but it's not the team you're thinking of. We'll get into that next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Beyer sitting in for Doug Gottlieb. John Ramos will be in the hot seat coming up at the bottom of the hour after David Gascon gives us the latest. But before that, let's check in with a friend of the program, 8-year NFL vet. Heck, you can hear him on Outkick the Coverage, filling in for Clay Travis. Jeff Schwartz joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, Jeff. How are you?
I am good. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving.
Okay, let's get to the bottom of this. You sent this out on Twitter a week or two ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Any movement on broadcasting teams getting linemen in the booth to explain what's going on offensive and defensive lines?
Yeah, do you have a connection with any network to get me hired for that job?
It's better than a kicking expert. I'll say that much. It's better than having a kicking expert. Yeah,
the kicking expert. And look, Jason got the job. I do not hate his hustle. But you know, when he's like, "Well, that kick went left because it was windy," I kind of feel like Jimmy Ince can do that, right? Like, I kind of feel like that's not something that you really need to have an expert to tell you what's happening.
What is the biggest mistake that you hear? And maybe not even for broadcast, Jeff, but from crap you hear on Twitter. What do people just not get about offensive lines in the National Football League or even in college football?
A couple things that come to mind. One is obviously holding, right? No one has any idea what holding is. That's like hard to explain, right? Because it's objective, and I mean, there's rules, right? There's holding rules and there's a rule book, but you know, every referee sees it differently and whatnot. But it's more about pass protection and assignments, right? Everyone thinks that we have to block everyone that blitzes, or that, you know, the running back's not involved, or the quarterback, right? The quarterback is not IDing the right front, or he's not staying in the pocket, not helping us out. So I think it's more that, like, I think an offensive line person would be helpful and not really saying, like, oh, the referee got it wrong, because no telecast wants a guy coming on just continually saying that their officiating is not good, but more just to help about protections. And a lot of times I'm watching games and I'm like, you blamed the offensive line, but here's why it's the running back's fault, or here's why the quarterback didn't do his job here. And so I think it'd be a fun addition to, you know, again, two times a game maybe, you know, hop in and kind of explain what's happening up front.
Jeff, when you see a quarterback scramble and instead of throwing the ball out of bounds, he runs out of bounds one yard behind the line of scrimmage and it goes as a sack against you guys, how does that make you feel?
Ian Book did that like 5 minutes ago for Notre Dame and I got so angry. Like, that, and this is why I think it's important to have people like Pro Football Focus to kind of help out. Look, are their grades perfect? No, they're not perfect, but they at least watch the games and they attribute the sacks to the right person, right? So, you know, the total sacks, you might have, you know, 20 sacks given up this season, but they might give, you know, two to the running back, one to the tight end, three to the quarterback. And so it allows a better picture of what's happening, because if you just go to like Stats Inc. and you look up sacks, well, it's just a total of sacks. And again, they're not all on the offensive line. We have rules and assignments. People don't think that we have those, which is really surprising to me. But again, I just think it would add something to the broadcast. If you're going to have a kicking expert, if you're going to have, you know, Tony Romo breaking down, you know, the route concepts and whatnot, I just think that adding a way to make football fans smarter in a quick way, right? So I'm not going to spend 8 minutes on Telestrator, but you know, there's times where I think it'd be appropriate to have someone doing that.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio, 8-year NFL vet, also the host of the Jeff Schwartz's Smarter Than You podcast. Jonas and I were just talking about the situation in Miami. If you're Brian Flores, who is your quarterback against the Jets in the rest of the season?
Yeah, this is really interesting because, you know, it's so the team doesn't have to win this year, right? If you look at their draft picks they have next season, or this upcoming draft, I should say, like, they're set for a long time, right? They have their quarterback now. Now they just can add pieces, you know, to the puzzle, add pieces to the pie. It's really easy just to continue to build. And so you look at this specific season, right? And so Tua came in, and the first three games they won weren't because of him. Everyone got so excited for that, but they scored essentially five times on offense, excuse me, on defense, special teams, his first three games. That's not normal, right? I mean, a team might score once or twice a year on defense, and this is five times in three games, and so it was never sustainable. So now they're playing the Broncos, and the front office is probably like, just keep Tua in the game. Why not? Like, it's a year for growth. If he's not playing well, he can play his way through it. But Brian Flores is a coach, and coaches try to win on Sundays. They want to win games. They don't care about the future. They're trying to win now. And he thought Fitz could help him in that game, come back, and win the game. And I agree with him. Tua wasn't playing terribly well. It wasn't bad, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is known for making those comebacks. And it almost worked, right? He drove him down into the red zone before he threw a pick to tie the game. And so I think that the starters, too, are moving forward. But I wouldn't be surprised if that happened again, that he's not playing well and just try to put Fitz in to win football games. Florida's supposed to make the playoffs. He's not worried about next year.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jeff, the situation between Baltimore and Pittsburgh, do you feel like somebody's getting the shaft in this situation? The fact that the game has now been moved to Tuesday, the hope is it's going to be played on Tuesday. And if you were the NFL and it was your choice, how would you handle this situation?
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers are definitely getting the short end here, right? I mean, they had a situation where their bye week got moved early in the season. So instead of having the week off of practice, early in the season, they were practicing that week, right? Because they thought they were going to play. And then their game got canceled, and they got a weekend off, and then they went back to practice on Monday and got ready for their next opponent. And this week, they had a Thursday game. It would have had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and reports are Tomlin was given a Monday, Tuesday off. Had a five-day break. That would have been great, right? That would have been great for their older team, for Big Ben, for everyone just to rest down the stretch. Now, they don't get that, and then they have to play a short week the following week, right? They have to play Tuesday, and then they have to play Sunday. So this is twice now. They've had to move games for Baltimore. And I get where the NFL is trying to get the game in, right? Because obviously you want to play the games on time. You don't want to have to a week 18 for just one single game, which would be odd. And this is a division game. It's important for the playoff seeding in the North. It's easy to say that the Ravens have to forfeit. I get that. But the players don't get paid this year if they miss a game. And this is unprecedented, right? Our contracts do not say that we get paid per game, right? We just get it's baked in the contract. There's 16 games. It's never been a situation we haven't had 16 regular season games. We don't get paid, you know, per se for the game itself. And for Pittsburgh to practice for 2 weeks and not get paid for any of it would be pretty bad feeling. And, you know, what if you're a Ravens player and you didn't get COVID, right? You weren't the one out in public, or you weren't the one that brought in the facility. And maybe it was an accident that it came in the facility, but how would you feel if you practiced too and didn't get paid because someone else made a mistake? And so I guess that's why they're playing the game, right? Is I think they just want everyone to get their money and get paid. And the players at the end will play whenever they tell them they're going to play.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Byer sitting in for Doug. Of the 7-win teams in the NFC, Rams, Packers, Seahawks, and Buccaneers, who do you have most confidence in doing damage once the playoffs come around?
Rams, Packers, Seahawks, Bucks. Well, look, I think that if the defenses for Seattle and Green Bay can improve, and we've seen the Chiefs defense last year improve drastically over the last month of the season into the playoffs. If either one of those defenses can improve, then I'd go to those guys. I'd go to Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson first. You know, I think Jared Goff is still limited in what he can do. If they get behind in games, they don't really trust him to come back. And here's the thing about Tampa is they're kind of in the same boat as my opinion, as Green Bay and Seattle, but they need their whole team to play up to what they can do, right? They're right now just so disjointed on offense that it's really difficult to see them putting it all together. But if they did, I think they'd be the favorite in the NFC, but we haven't seen them do it. This is not the best weekend for them to kind of come together. I mean, it'd be great if they would. It'd be a much better game, but the Chiefs present a lot of issues. You know, you have to keep up points-wise, and it's hard to do that.
Jeff, last one for me. From an expert's eye, because you played offensive line in the NFL for a long time, best and worst offensive line in the league belongs to who?
Well, the Bengals is the worst. I don't think it's even a question. And they got poor Burrow killed out there. The best offensive line, the Saints is. I am a big fan of doing tiers with offensive lines. I think it's really hard to do best. The Saints are really good. The Colts are good. The Bucs actually have a really good offensive line. I know sometimes it doesn't look that way. Their offense is so disjointed. But yeah, I mean Colts are good. Saints, Bucs, trying to have other offensive lines around the NFL that are playing well. I'm sure I missed one and people will yell at me. That's probably, that's about right, I think. Those three are put in the top tier.
But it's the reason I asked the question is because it's never, well, they've got a really good offensive line, but they're a bad team. Like, it just feels like every team that is looking at making a playoff run, seems like they have some, at least a quality enough offensive line to be a good football team. It never goes in reverse to where, well, you know, the offensive line is the strength of the team. Other than that, they're just crap. It just feels like we know this, yet for whatever reason, it still feels like organizations go in different directions.
Yeah, but it's also coaching. You know, like, for example, take the Bengals. They drafted a first-round center, a first-round left tackle, and they've drafted other pieces as well, brought in guys at free agency, and they're just not coached very well. Like, they're not coached up very well. So it's not just about bringing in offensive linemen. It's also being able to coach them, teach them, integrate your scheme around what they do. You know, the Rams, for example, do a great job of running an offense that fits their scheme. So do the 49ers. And I think a lot of coaches just don't do that quite yet. They're stubborn about it. And if you want to be good in the NFL, you have to match up. You know, you should draft linemen and pick them up that fit your scheme anyways. I think that's not done enough. I don't think people, I'm a great example. For example, when I went to the Giants, we were switching to a new offense with Ben McAdoo. I am not a fit for that offense at all. I'm a big giant guard who wants to run block and kind of firm pass protect and get after things and be in a 3-point stance. And I'm in an offense in a 2-point stance. It's pass all the time. It's running from shotgun that doesn't really run the ball physically. Like, I was not made for that offense, but they took me anyways. And I mean, those things are important to look at when evaluating that position. I feel like that position still is not quite valued or really not looked at the same way as, you know, other positions.
He's Jeff Schwartz. That's where you can find him on Twitter. You can also hear him. And Tom's filling in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio and Outkick the Coverage. 8-year NFL vet taking time for us on this Friday. Enjoy whatever they're going to call Oregon State now. We'll just call it the Civil War. Enjoy it,
I'm going to call it. I, by the way, we have named it the game formally called the Civil War.
So okay, very good.
I can say it. It's a Pac-12 radio employee. I can talk about the game that way.
There it is.
Go the Prince route. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you, Jeff. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox, in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. Get Dan on Twitter, at Dan Byer on Fox. Coming up next, a first in the history of the show, never before heard and invented by Dan Byer. Find out what it is next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
It is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Oh, I think we have a Florida State highlight. DeAndre plays wah. There's my Decker off.
Can we get Decker off?
A touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Oh. Did I ever tell you the story about Gene Deckerhoff?
No.
Okay, we had him on locally in Charleston, South Carolina years ago. And Gene Deckerhoff, and I'm almost positive.
Legend.
Yeah, legend. He ended the call because he was getting a couch delivered and they had just arrived. I swear to God, he ended the call live on the air and we looked at each other. I'm like, did that just happen? Now, it's not as bad as Bert Sugar, the former boxing analyst. I don't know if you know a 10 count during an update, Dan. Bert Sugar, we had him on and he actually, while on the air, took a leak. Like, I'm not even kidding. We
very
could hear
Naked Gun-esque.
Yeah, just didn't even think that. You know, I'm doing a radio interview right now. I probably should wait. And I don't even know if he washed his hands, but yeah, there's that. Local radio.
Get Jonas on Twitter at the Jonas Knox. I'm at Dan Byer on Fox. John Ramos, you can find him on Twitter at JSRamos06. You can also find him in the hot seat right now as we play All Ball with John Ramos. You know, Doug has got the podcast on the Herd Podcast Network called All Ball. But this is All Ball with John Ramos. John, are you ready to play today?
I am always prepared and ready to go at any time.
All right, John, you have to decipher the games that we tell you if it's a college football game, a college basketball game, or no ball game this weekend. So we're going to give you a bunch of different schools, bunch of different matchups. You got to tell us if it's college football, college basketball, or if it's no ball.
Okay, got it.
Ready for that?
Yes.
All right, John, we'll start out. What about number 17 Houston against Boise State? Is that football, basketball, or no ball?
I would say that's football.
Oh, John, that's basketball.
Oh, yeah,
it's actually going on right now. Houston leads by 13 points midway through the second half.
Yeah, sit down, John. All right, John.
By the way, John went 4 of 8 in heel or no heel yesterday with Bucky Brooks.
Heel or no heel? Did you guys do Brooks and Dunn?
Yes,
of course we did.
How did you know?
All right, so here we go, John. Football, basketball, or no ball? Lamar versus Tulane.
No ball.
That's incorrect, John.
Oh,
that's basketball.
Jeez.
Yuck.
Unbelievable.
Come on, John. Step it up. All right, John. What about BU at LOL?
He knows your cadence. He starts laughing before you can even
finish. Yeah, that's no ball. Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay.
well done, John. All right, John. You ready?
Yeah.
Martin Tech versus Shapiro State.
I'm going to say no ball.
That's correct. Good
All
job,
right.
John.
All right, John's got two. How about Central Michigan against Eastern Michigan?
That sounds like basketball.
It might, but it's actually football.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, that's a football game that's going to be going on this weekend. All right, John, you're 2 of 5 so far.
Johnny, you ready?
Yeah.
Stanford versus Cal. Football, basketball, or no ball?
I'd say it's football.
Correct.
All right, John's good,
John.
3 of 6.
Isn't that the Bell game or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. The Saved by the Bell game.
The band.
Screech is doing the honorary coin toss.
The Bell game.
The band is on the field. All right. Grand Canyon University against Mount Rushmore College.
I'm going to say no ball.
That is correct.
Yeah,
there is Grand Canyon.
Yes.
You see the commercials, by the way. Those commercials are like the college basketball games. Like it's like the Cameron Crazies times 10. Remember those Grand Canyon University commercials?
Yes.
It's like, this is the most amazing college basketball game ever. Who are they playing? Laverne.
Oh.
Well, surely Super you would have watched it, Dan.
Shout out to the Super Tents, by the way, just FYI.
All right, here we go, John. Football, basketball, or no ball? George Mason versus George Reister. What's so funny, John?
That's no ball.
Good, John.
All right, John. Now 5 of 8, back to back. What about George Washington against George Jefferson?
That's no ball.
Now you're moving on up, John. Moving on up. 6 of 9 right now.
Woo,
for John.
On a roll.
Ramos.
All right, Johnny. Football, basketball, no ball. Eastern Kentucky versus Charleston Southern.
That's basketball.
Ooh, he's on fire.
Good job, John.
Fire.
7 of 10.
70%.
Okay. Yes. What about FDU against Rutgers?
No ball.
No, that is. It's Fairleigh Dickinson University taking on Rutgers today.
FDU.
Yes. Well, I don't know where your mind is.
No kidding. No kidding, man.
I thought it was F.
All right, John, you ready?
Yeah.
Right. Wait a sec. I want to know what you thought the D was. That's what I want to know.
We want to know.
I don't know. Move on.
All right, Johnny. Lamar versus Jackson.
It's Bird Dog game.
Johnny, Lamar versus Jackson. What's so funny, John?
Peyton versus Manning. I'll say that's no ball.
That is correct, John.
All right. 8 of 12. Got a couple more.
Okay.
What about Wisconsin against UW-Madison?
I'm going to say it's basketball.
They're the same school. The Wisconsin Badgers against the UW-Madison Badgers.
That'd be like USC versus Southern Cal?
Yes,
okay,
exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
So that's no ball.
All right, Johnny. George Mason versus Belmont.
George Mason, Belmont. I would say basketball.
God, he's on fire.
All right.
You can't contain him.
No. All right. I got one more.
Okay.
You got one more, Jonas?
Yeah, I got one
Okay.
more.
All right. UCF versus USF.
UCF. US. Basketball?
It's football, John.
Oh.
Central Florida against South Florida. Yes.
All right. Johnny,
all ball.
Johnny, last one here.
Yes.
Football, basketball, or no ball? North Carolina A&T versus down with OPP. I don't get what's so funny.
I would say that's a no ball.
All right. Hip hop hooray for John Ramos, who got 10 out of 16 correct in All Ball. Download All Ball right now with John Ramos at foxsportsradio.com.
Yeah. All right. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. Get John, if you have any questions or critiques for John Ramos, at JSRamos06 is where you can find him on Twitter. Coming up next, though, somebody thinks that there could be an upset in the NFL for one of the best teams in the league this weekend. Find out who it is next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, there it is. The great Gene Deckerhoff. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Byer. We are in for Doug Gottlieb today on the Doug Gottlieb Show. But we're going to do what Doug usually does at this time in a segment we like to call...
And now...
All right, Jonas, we're going to get right to it. Skip Bayless on Undisputed earlier today on Fox Sports 1, weighing in on the game of the week in the National Football League, Week 12 showdown between the Chiefs and Buccaneers.
My heart is saying Brady, Brady, Brady. My head is screaming back at my heart, you better be careful here, because can he score 40-plus? Because I think he's going to have to score 40 to win this game. Unless you tell me that Todd Bowles' defense has enough pride that it's one of those days where they dredge up whatever's left of their pride and their passion and their guts, and they just say, that's enough of this. Not in our house this time.
Right.
Watch this. If they rise up and have one of those emotional, just over-the-top, all-out efforts against Mahomes where they make every play, every moment, they don't make one mistake, they don't give up any bomb plays, and they hang in there, Tampa could win this game 38-35. At best, they will hold them to 35. But my head is saying, no, it's going to be 42-38 because Mahomes is going to get that one more touchdown to go 42-38.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's not going to be Brady's fault that they lose. This is going to be a shootout, old versus young.
Right.
And yet, I don't know that Brady's defense will be much, if any, better than Mahomes' defense.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this. The Buccaneers are 7-4. Yeah. We talk about them like they're 2-9. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
they are, although I just – that game last week was such a bad loss. Just from the stance of – I think I've pretty much given up on the fact that they're going to get a first-round bye. Which has always been Brady's, you know, one of the added benefits from playing in New England. I don't think he ever reached a Super Bowl without that first round bye, other than the first one, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't think of any time. Yeah, where they were either the one or the two seed,
right? And so my old thing is, what do we expect for the when they get to? Clearly they have the talent. When their offense is humming and they're running the ball and they commit to the run, they're a completely different offense. Doesn't it feel like, though, that they get so pass happy? And it's not always that you know, situation dictates it. I mean, last week that game was never out of reach that they had to throw and run the ball as few times as they did. It just feels odd. There's something there that's not fitting and not meshing, and I can't figure it out. I can't put my finger.
I don't think that it's. I think it's a matchup nightmare for the Buccaneers because they are decent against the run, and Kansas City has shown last week they actually committed to it because I think they will down the line. But realistically, we've also seen Kansas City survive without running the football. We have never seen Tampa Bay survive without running the football, and that's a big difference. I think it's a matchup nightmare for Tampa Bay in this situation.
What does the Fox say?
Also, Brady doesn't have that James White. I mean, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette are almost liabilities catching the ball out of the backfield. Like that's an issue for them. And I don't think Tampa's willing to run the ball and keep it for 40 minutes away from Kansas City, which is a way that I think you would need to beat the Chiefs.
I want you to be honest with me.
Yes.
Be honest. Are you going to watch any of Giants Bengals?
Oh, of course I will.
Okay.
I may have to start Tyler Boyd.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.